to thee.
Let us pray to the Lord. May the words of my mouth and the meditation in our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The text from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 is a fairly well-known scripture, at least in a very vague sense. People try to partially quote it all the time. God will only give you as much as you can bear, or something to that effect. Unfortunately, the half-measure citation oftentimes leads to a lot of misunderstandings about the scripture. One of them being this idea: wait out the storm, God will only pile on so much, and in time, you'll make it through. Unfortunately, this kind of misrepresentation of God's word can only get us into deeper trouble. We can become resentful. We can become burdened to the extent that we lose hope, not understanding what the verse actually says. We have to be careful. Because while the scripture is for encouragement as to what God does, namely, and note, what God does, one, God will not allow you to be tempted beyond your ability to resist temptation. That's God's promise to you. And two, God will provide the way of escape when you are in the midst of that temptation. Promise two. Still, in all of this gracious work of God, you are called, Christian, to take the way of escape when you are being tempted. You need to use it. You need to walk through it. In your new life in Christ, you bear some responsibility. That's something we don't necessarily want to hear, but it's true. And this is why the season of Lent, and indeed the entire Christian life, is oftentimes characterized as bearing a cross. Crosses are heavy. Crosses are painful. Crosses are unpleasant, but they must be carried. We have that call. We have that responsibility. Responsibility. It's not a very strong word in Lutheran theology. Our sinful nature makes us helpless to save ourselves. God must do the saving. Even in our sanctification, in our new lives in Christ, as we are born again and converted, we still rely on the Holy Spirit working through the Word and the sacrament to sanctify us. Still, this leading is not the leading of a corpse, but the leading of a new creation. And that is what you are. One who says amen to the leading of the Holy Spirit. So that again, if you are being tempted, you are to acknowledge God's faithfulness as expressed in His promise. God says, I'm going to give you a way of escape. And when I do, use it. Walk through the door. Get busy in following the escape route. You are not a lame duck when it comes to temptation. I'm helping you, protecting you, giving you a way out. But when it's presented to you, take it. This, dear Christian, is part of God's word that we easily neglect. How often have we heard the irresponsible responses? The devil made me do it. It's just human nature. A leopard, after all, can't change his spots. It's just the way I am. Excuse after excuse after excuse for why people do not live in God's gracious promise to protect. He tempers the temptations themselves. As irresistible as they might seem, they are not irresistible, because the Lord also provides the way of escape from them. Every temptation is resistible, and the Lord blesses us through His gracious guidance. But even the word guidance insinuates that we follow. We hear His voice of protection in the face of temptation. We are called to follow the way of escape. If we do, we come out from under the temptation. If we don't, we are overtaken by the temptation. We need to understand the difference. It is one thing to be tempted, but it's entirely something else to give in to the temptation. In the Large Catechism, Luther explains the following, quote, "Lead us not into temptation refers to times when God gives us power and strength to resist temptation. However, the temptation is not taken away or removed. While we live in the flesh and have the devil around us, no one can escape his temptation and lures. It can only mean that we must endure trials, indeed, be engulfed in them. But we say this prayer so that we may not fall and be drowned in them. To feel temptation is therefore a far different thing from consenting or yielding to it." Unquote. And in the scripture this morning, we are taught that all temptation we face, get this, is common to man. There is nothing strange that is happening to you, Christian, when you face powerful temptations that threaten your faith and threaten your life, that threaten your family and your good vocations. These are not strange spiritual confrontations. They are within the norm of human experience. You are not being singled out by an exceptional temptation. Don't give yourself that much credit. This is the work of the devil, to make you proud and egotistical while trying to convince yourself that your temptation is so elegant, it's so powerful, it's so special, so that you have no choice but to succumb to it. Lie, deception, just not the case, just not true. Your temptation, whatever it may be, is common to all humanity. You're not that special. Don't worry. You're just a sinner like the rest of us. You're tempted. So what? The good news is that God won't let you to be tempted beyond your ability to resist. And God will provide a way of escape so that you're able to resist and able to withstand. That's what His Word says. But remember, resist. Remember, endure. You have a part, Christian. You are called to escape. You are not called to give in to it so that you moan and groan about how human you are and about how you just couldn't resist. That's sin talking. Don't buy it. It's poison. It's deception. One of my favorite biblical examples is from Joseph in the book of Genesis. Now Joseph was handsome in form and in appearance. And after a time, his master's wife cast her eyes on Joseph and said, "Lie with me." But he refused and said to his master's wife, "Behold, because of me, my master has no concern about anything in the house, and he has put everything that he has in my charge. He is not greater than this house than I am, nor has he kept back anything from me except yourself, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" And as she spoke to Joseph day after day, he would not listen to her, to lie beside her, or to be with her. But one day, when he went into the house to do his work, and none of the men of the house was there in the house, she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. But he left his garment in her hand and fled and got out of the house. Joseph was confronted by a great temptation that did not ease up and did not stop. It was a temptation that continually confronted him in his daily vocation in life. But do you see how he took the way of escape in this text? He called, first of all, he called the temptation for what it was. He didn't try to pretty it up or to pour perfume on it. In his heart and his mind, he had determined what potential was being set before him going into that. He said it represented great wickedness and sin against God. Joseph did not allow himself to become mesmerized by sin's deception, making poison look like paradise. And then when the temptation reached its climax and Potiphar's wife literally grabbed hold of his garment, what did he do? Did he stand there wrestling for his garment back? No, he ran. He took the way of escape. That is, Joseph was not going to play games with his sinful flesh. He didn't make excuses for himself to stay in touch with his ex-girlfriends. He didn't sit around playing with media on his iPad or iPhone or iTouch or III device, waiting for pictures to go from just pictures to something else, from mere advertisement to soft you-know-what to hard you-know-what. He didn't play the game of just one drink while knowing that depending on who you are and what your history and your resistance or lack thereof is, means that just one is all you need to lose it. Know thyself, Christian. If you are having trouble with chocolate donuts, then don't stop by Winchell's just to use the Wi-Fi. The Lord is faithful. He won't let temptation go too far. And he will provide the way of escape when it comes. But know when to resist. Know when to run. Know how to spot that door that says way of escape. And don't sit around waiting for God to cause you to levitate or beam you up. His way is his word in your heart and upon your lips, just like Joseph. Thus, St. Paul went to great lengths to warn the Corinthians. Does great St. Paul, that apostle who proclaims justification by grace through faith in Christ alone, apart from the works of the law, propounding on the great freedom of justification, is the same St. Paul who taught this. He did so by giving them many examples of what the Israelites went through. Before giving this great scripture of wisdom and encouragement, he leads up to the scripture on the way of escape by reminding the Corinthians that in many instances, many Israelites had foolishly ignored the way of escape when they were tempted. So leading up to the verse we're focusing on this morning, he gives five examples from the time of the Israelites. Number one, the Israelites had an intense craving for the meats associated with idols, and they were discontent with God's manna. 1 Corinthians 10:6. Number two, the Israelites allowed their idolatry to turn into sexual immorality when Aaron fashioned a golden calf. 1 Corinthians 10:7. Number three, once again they fell to self-indulgence, idol worship, and fornication at Shittim, at the very gates on the cusp of entering the promised land. 1 Corinthians 10:8. Number four, the Israelites were filled with impatience and complained and despised the spiritual provision the Lord had provided them. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 9. Number five, the Israelites were overcome with grumbling against the Lord, completely discontent. 1 Corinthians 10:10. Note the quality of temptation. It's all over the place, all over the map. In some cases, the temptation was a craving for food along with the temptation to be discontent. In other cases, the temptation was about false worship and sexual immorality. Sometimes it was temptation towards self-indulgence. And still in other instances, the temptation was for being impatient and to complain. And in the most extreme cases, to grumble so as to be discontent even towards the Lord himself. St. Paul knew that the Corinthian Christians could succumb to these temptations just as the Israelites had succumbed in the past. And this word is left for you and for me because we too are confronted by such temptation. We are called to be alert. We are called to be aware. For the sake of your marriage, for the sake of your children and your families, for the sake of your church, there is the constant assault of our own flesh, the voice of tolerance for everything under the sun, from the world and the assaults of the evil one, for us to succumb to temptation rather than flee from it, rather to resist it through the Lord's way of escape. We too are tempted. Number one, to be discontent with the Lord's provision, to want more to the extent that we are tempted to compromise. Number two, to engage in false worship, to love anything else more than God. And we should never be surprised by the sexual compromise that follows. Number three, to be self-indulgent even in the face of God's gifts. Number four, to be impatient and to complain even when the Lord provides. We never have enough. And number five, to grumble even towards the Lord, grumbling even against his very word and even against his faithful ministers. Are we susceptible to such things? Of course we are. And we are called to see that the Lord has been faithful so that we are not sitting ducks to these evil traps designed to destroy our faith and our life. Three Sundays ago, Pastor Mueller preached on our Lord in the wilderness. I wasn't here, but I heard the recording. He was tempted for 40 days. Lent begins with temptation, it continues with temptation, and it ends with temptation. Lent begins with our Lord's temptation in the wilderness, our Lord's constant temptation throughout his public ministry to stop dead in his tracks from saving you. And our Lord's ministry ended with temptation when he was dying on the cross and he was tempted to come down from the cross. And in every instance, dear Christian, the Lord was faithful. In every instance, he took the way of escape and did not succumb to it. In every instance, he resisted temptation for you. St. Paul says that in the Lord's faithfulness, that the Lord continues also to provide a way for you to escape. But in every instance, that essential way of escape, listen, is Jesus himself. When you are tempted to be discontent, see your way of escape. Jesus Christ, who gives you all you need and more than what you could ever ask for. To have him is to have the greatest protection, because everything else will eventually wear out and rot, but not Christ, not your Savior. When you're tempted to follow some other guide for life and in effect start living in a new religion, when you're tempted to make other things in life more important than the Lord, then see Jesus, your escape. He is the true Lord who adds all things to you as by grace you seek him first in the kingdom of God. He makes you his holy temple so that you see your body as more than just a vehicle for stimulation, but is rather a temple of the Holy Spirit. Jesus is your way of escape because he gifts to you with gifts that are greater than the illusions of the self-indulgent mind. He is your way of escape when you face your own impatience, because he is patient with you and does not want anyone to perish.
including you.
And he is your way of escape when you grumble. Because even when sinners grumbled at him to give up his mission to save you, he resisted. He is your escape from temptation and sin. Because he died so that you would not be overcome. And he rose so that you would know that in Jesus, the greatest escape has already occurred, the escape from death itself by his resurrection. Not even death can overcome you, since the Lord, who faced all temptation for you, is risen. When you are tempted, see the way of escape, Jesus. Hold to him, and temptation will not stand. But you will, because the Lord died for sinners who have fallen to temptation. And he died for forgiven sinners who also now have the way of escape. These are yours. Forgiveness for all the times you have fallen, and the way of escape for the next time. Jesus is your escape. Your escape from temptation, from sin, from condemnation, and from death. Your escape to life. Take the way of escape, Christian, because God will not let you be tempted beyond your ability to resist, and because God will provide a means of escape from any temptation. Jesus is your guarantee. And now the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus until he comes again in glory. Amen. We stand.